Alrighty, everybody. Welcome back to the Quarter Life Podcast, where we talk about news, booze, and Tom Cruise. This is a very special episode for all of you coming back from part one. We are now here for a part two with the only one, Tommy Two Wolves Dutch. Everybody give it up for him.
Thank you.
And if you're a true Quarter Life Podcast fan, you will know this legend sitting across from me, Owen Diriens, who was with me the very first time in my mother's living room shooting on Adobe Premiere, the first episode. And we're back here. He's joining me for this 21st episode, I believe, here, where we're just going to pick things right back up from where we left them off last time. So, Dutch, last time we spoke about your childhood growing up back in the day, the trials and tribulations, you making it out of that dark place. And we finished off with basically you living in New York City, I believe, around what time is this? 80s, 90s, something like that. I think that's where we left off.
Early 90s, late 80s.
Early 90s. Yeah. Can you tell us exactly what it was like living in New York City during that time? How is it different from today?
I mean, it doesn't even look the same. You know, I'll explain like the East Village, Alphabet City, which everybody just called the Lower East Side back then, and what that looked like, and they don't even fucking believe me. You know? It looked like post-World War II Poland. It, you know, there were no fucking street lights. Just burned out cars. Every other building was abandoned or just a rubble lot. There was tons of lots.
Mm-hmm. People would, like, live there in those lots too, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
Have, like, little casitas.
Yeah, camp the fuck out, man. Yo, Thompson Square Park was just a big homeless encampment with, like, burning barrels and, like, tent cities everywhere. You know?
Wow. Now it's a Whole Foods.
Yeah. Yeah, you're just, you know, sipping your latte, flipping right, through exactly. Your New Yorker on Avenue A. Hi. But, yeah, it was really grimy, man. But, like, it was alive, man. There was like mad community too, though. Like, you know, there's tons of squats, you know. We all lived in squats back then, and there was squats on every block. Some block was nothing but squats.
And by squats, it's like you're kind of living there without permission, right? You're kind of
out. See, so when New York went bankrupt, like a lot of people either burned the spots down for fucking you know, insurance, or they just left them. Mm-hmm. and they all went delinquent, and just the city took it over. So the city places you could squat, privately owned spots, you really couldn't because it was a different residency, you know what I mean? If you went to Europe at that time, England, Paris, Germany, there were squats everywhere, dude. They've been doing it for a long time. You would move into these places, fix them up, fix up the power, establish residency, and they couldn't kick you out. Well, here in New York, it was like a real big gray area. There was just too many of us, and they were fucking scared because they'd go to kick us out, and then everybody from all the other squats would come, and there'd be a fucking riot, man. And there was, you know, when Giuliani became mayor, you know, and just started rapidly sterilizing and sanitizing New York City, man, like, he started evicting the squats.
Really?
And it was the only time in New York history that they brought a tank.
You saw that? You saw the tank?
You were there, right?
Oh, yeah,
the
Tompkins riot? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, Tompkins riot was different.
Oh, okay.
What is a Tompkins riot?
Oh, we'll get into that. So they were evicting 13th Street, and there was a bunch of squats on 13th Street, man. And everybody from everywhere. I mean, even people from the bodega, the community, because it was like old people, families living in these squats too, man. It wasn't just like us fucking crazy-ass punk rockers. You know what I mean?
Really?
Artists,
wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, there was a huge full-scale riots going on, you know, and they were just arresting everybody. They pulled the tank in. It was like on MTV. It was like world news for a minute. And then they just got them all. And the ones that are kind of still around, they're not really squats. They're like co-ops, but they were able to work out a deal with the city where they got up to code. And, like, you know, I don't know exactly what they did.
So
but
Giuliani decided to clean up the city and brought in a fucking tank on 13th Street? Is that what happened?
Yeah, they just kind
actually,
of
had
like
no idea
scare
about
everybody.
This.
Yeah, you could look it up, man.
And you were there. You saw that. You saw that happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What were you guys thinking? Like, holy shit, there's a tank outside, bro.
I was like,
bro,
let's go, motherfucker. Like, wow. Listen, dude, like, we wanted shit like that to happen. You know what I mean,
really?
Man? Like, honestly, dude. Like,
it was exciting.
We were all, like, anarchists, kind of politically driven. And you're going to come in and try to take our home?
Mm-hmm.
Like, fuck you, we're going to fight for that shit. And we had been planning this for, you know, decades, man. Of, like, when they come,
oh,
we'll
you knew
be
they
ready.
Were going to come.
Mm. Yeah, eventually. I mean, because they tried to come for some other squats before. They even successfully evicted a couple. But, like, every squat had like a double steel door, barricades,
this is like
and
a
even
fortress.
Like a giant fucking joist, wham, and you lay in it. You know what I mean? So that when they tried to come through the door, they couldn't. You
That's
know what
crazy.
I mean? So, but yeah, it just started rapidly happening. The unity of the city just wasn't what it was before. So I think that's why it happened, you know? A lot of that time, man, like, yeah, I was just running and gunning it on the streets, dude. So, like, I'm like, oh, there goes the neighborhood.
But even though it was wilder, you guys were more community driven,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
It was totally like that. Yeah, it was totally. Wow. Community. All squads would have like house meetings, shit like that once a week.
You, had, which you guys had a hierarchy at all, or like a captain, like a hierarchy?
No,
it was all
like that. Nah.
Wow.
But you know, there were people that were there longer than others. And,
what are some of the craziest stories from that decade in New York City when it was kind of lawless and you kind of just did whatever you wanted? I mean,
it was
around.
Crazy all the time, man. I think it was the third annual Tompkins Square police riot in 88 or 89. Like they came in and they were tearing down the band shell. Mm. They used to be in Tompkins Square Park where bands would play. Big ass riot happened. The cops came in, beat the fucking shit out of everybody.
Is there a lot of people,
you know,
living
people
in
were
that
videoing.
Park,
right? Yeah, a lot of people living in the park. They're kicking everybody out of the park too. So every year they would have like annual ones, like May Day. And bands would play. They'd bring in the fake stage at this time. It was always kind of like, is there going to be another riot? Because the police would all pull up and they'd take that church right there on fucking 10th and like turn it into a substation. And there's riot cops fucking everywhere. And the park would just fill up with all of us and everybody else, and bands were playing stuff. And this one particular one, yo, this was the craziest shit. I remember Black Rain, because they had a bunch of metal, like, you know, I-beams and shit like that, and they were banging on them, you know? And then they threw it out into the audience, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was in between those two big-ass trees right there where they put the stage now. Mm-hmm. So right in between them trees is all this metal, and people just kept banging. You know, we're just having like a metal jam and hitting it all night, right? It was me and some of my friends, and I was just there. It was getting to be dark, and everybody just got bored. And I remember Cabby Mount started pulling bricks out from around the trees, because there's all them bricks there, and making like a giant fire pit. and then they started burning shit. And then we just started throwing police barricades in and burning it. And it was this massive fucking fire, dude. We're burning all the police barricades. Crazy. And everybody's still beating on this metal in front of it, right? You know? And the cops were like right there, they ain't doing shit. You know, but they ain't gonna do shit when there's just three of them and there's like hundreds of us, you know? Yeah, I remember the cops all line up. They brought out these giant lights, man, that were like stadium lights or like floodlights.
Mm-hmm.
Bam! Put them on us, you know? And you just see these dudes like beating on this metal, man, dreadlocks flying, shit like that. And all these cops line up, dude, like fucking stormtroopers, dude. And then right then, it starts fucking pissing rain, dude. All on that fire, the entire park filled with smoke.
Wow.
And then all of a sudden, you see, you can hear them like, tush, 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 like coming towards us. And fucking, they're like 20 feet tall now. They're shadows through the smoke.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you see is these like 20 foot tall silhouettes of fucking just a
stormtroopers.
Riot cops, dude. Like fucking like 50 of them, dude. 100 of them, you know, just coming in.
Yeah.
And everybody backs up and there's all the benches right there, man. And it's like, all right, let's go. And then there was like the metal right there between where everybody was beating on, man, right? And you just see stormtroopers. There's one lone dude out there, man, with like these long ass dreads just still beating on the metal, dude. Like you don't even see the fucking cops. You don't care. He's like, just like, and it was like the craziest fucking thing. But then all of a sudden, man, out of nowhere, I don't know if they're beside us or what, we were just surrounded by cops, dude. And they're fucking just whacking the shit out of people. You just see dudes jumping on cops' backs and shit, and they're just fighting. Like, you know, you don't see that shit. Now a cop will just fucking blast your ass. Yeah. I mean, they do it back then, but not really in public like that, you know?
Back then they used to scrap.
Yeah. And so that's going on. And my friend Smiley Jack grabs me and goes, yo, let's get the fuck out of here. I'm like, all right. And I turn and I fucking ran right into a cop horse.
Oh.
And I look up and I hit the cop horse hard because it's stummy. And I look up and there's this cop chick with full riot gear, and she just fucking has one of those giant cans of mace with like the funnel end for crowds. Unloads that fucker right in my face, dude.
No.
Just, I took a direct hit, dude. I was like, I think I know my friend grabs me and I got two people. I don't even know who this other person is, man. They're throwing me over fences and shit. And like, I can't see shit. I can't breathe. I thought I was fucking dying. Oh. I'm being dragged and I'm hitting shit. They get us over by Avenue A where the Nino's Pizza used to be. It's a fucking Starbucks now. and the guys from Nino come out and they're, you know, they all knew us all. Like Ray's. We always went to Ray's every morning.
He's still there.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, Ray's still there. He's
95 years old.
Well, man, something to know, but like, man, even during the 1988 riot, man, right, when everything got destroyed, nobody touched Ray's because we were all his customers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So the guys from Nino's are like pouring fucking milk on me and shit like that. I literally thought I was gonna die, man. Like I couldn't breathe, man.
Yeah.
And I know everybody's on Avenue Way. They're blocking fucking traffic and they're still fighting with the cops, and the cops are just all over the place, dude, just grabbing people. If you looked anything like we did, or any, you were just standing there. They were sweeping at this point. And then, you know, we got the fuck out of there, went and got some dope and got high.
So that whole period, man, once Giuliani took office, it's just like war.
This
is
before Giuliani.
Oh, before? Yeah. And then it got even worse when he got on, probably, right?
Yeah. It got worse. Well, they didn't give a fuck about the LES back then. Mm-hmm. You know, it was so off the map, dude.
Yeah.
Like Avenue A, you walk down it now and it's like sports bars and shit. Mm-hmm. Back then it was like junkies and punk rockers. And I mean, that whole area, the Bowery, is like where the art started, man.
Right.
In New York theater, punk rock, Gangs of New York, like everything all started in that area, man. All the art, everything. You know, but Avenue A was like, you didn't fucking go down there, man. We were all down there because it was so lawless and no one ever fucked with you. I mean, you had to watch out.
So that's where it kind of punk rock started,
danger,
right?
You know what I mean? Cool shit comes out of that, man. Yeah, yeah. And we could all live down there.
So did you see it happen, though? Because I don't know my history that well with, I guess, punk rock. But did you see the art start there? Like, whether it's the music starting, like, did you see it happen? Like, punk rock
I was
and all
like,
that?
I was a little kid in the 70s, you know? But I remember driving with my parents and seeing these dudes with, like, leather jackets and charged hair and being like, whoa. What the fuck? Mm. Back then, man, if you even back in the late 80s, early 90s, if you look like that, like I remember in the I ended up getting into it like second, third wave. It was like 1984, 85. You know, I was like a little kid, but it was still pumping. The New York like hardcore scene was.
Was that when like the Cro-Mags and them were out?
Yeah, they were all out. You know, but a lot of the older bands were still playing too. Yeah. I mean, all those people were still around. I was between here and Phoenix, and I was getting all the West Coast shit too. There was no internet, man. You had to go to a record store. Or I'd sit there and I'd write fucking letters to these bands, and they send me a demo tape
like
3 months
tapes.
Later. Yeah, that was with all the black metal dudes in Norway, man.
Talk about that.
Yeah.
That's so like, shit.
You were writing letters to bands?
Yeah. I mean, wow. You had you back then to like get records or tapes and stuff like that if the record store you had didn't have them. You know, New York you could get a lot of shit, but when I moved out to Phoenix, man, it was a fucking wasteland, man. And there was like two record stores, and you were lucky if they had like some of the real juicy shit. So yeah, when I got into it, like, I mean, we had to walk around in like packs of people because people would trip out by the way you looked, your appearance, you know what I mean? They just want to beat your ass, or they just look at you and they'd be so confused and like, what are you, gay? Like, you know what I mean? Just like, it would always go to that, like, hey, faggot, you know what I mean? Like, you just got called faggot all the time. And then you see, like, in the 90s, you know, you got all of a sudden Green Day and all those guys coming out, you know, which were homies of mine.
You know Green Day?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I ended up out in the Bay Area in the early 90s. We were going back and forth out there. And the Bay Area had, like, this huge fucking punk scene that was going on at the time at Gilman Street. Yeah, there was, like, all these bands, like Filth, Grimple, Neurosis. And then there's, like, Green Day and Crimp Shrine. So I would go to a show at a backyard party, and there'd be Green Day playing with Grimple. Or fucking dudes from Neurosis, you know what I mean? Yeah. And it was just mixed up.
Before anybody knew them?
Yeah, nobody knew
them.
Wow,
so you saw them come, because I grew up in Italy, were gigantic in Italy. That's how big they got.
Well, yeah,
like,
I mean,
they were huge Green Day.
Towards, like, I think it was around 93, they got too big. They were on, like, Lookout Records or something, and they would go to play a show, and there'd just be hundreds of people. It's funny, everything said, like, they, like, signed over. And back then, to sign over, it was like, you were fucking sellout. You know, like, they were banned. Like, I remember Billy Joel, he couldn't even come down to hang out because motherfuckers would be like, fuck you, you know, and like,
because he signed to a label.
And I'm like, listen, motherfucker, what politically driven motives do these guys have when they named their record Dookie?
Yeah.
You know what I mean, man?
American,
like,
idiot.
Yeah, who gives a shit? Like, you know, so like, and Rancid was, all that shit was going on, was starting to come out, you know, so it was like, all of a sudden it was a little more acceptable in society to kind of look that way. But, you know, when you were younger, it wasn't. Like, you couldn't go get these clothes, man. Like, you had to make them. You painted your own jackets and shit.
Wow.
Now you see fucking Kardashians wearing punk jackets that we made fucking back in the 80s, dude, 90s.
They're
paying
t-shirts.
Like thousands of dollars for them, man. And
that's,
you know,
crazy.
And we're making that shit out of our parents' fucking sewing thread and kitchen knives.
But one thing that didn't change about New York City, though, especially Lower East Side, is that there's still a lot of creatives there.
They're
still kind of driving the world, right? Like, now it's just hip hop instead of
punk.
You know?
Well, dude, you know, I mean, punk rock and hip hop goes hand in hand, man. And a lot of people don't know that, dude. I mean, coming out of New York City back then, you had half the bands that were playing hardcore ended up going over and were doing hip-hop shit or becoming DJs, dude. Like, the Beastie Boys were a hardcore band, playing at CB's, playing at A7, you know what I mean? Tons of other dudes that just ended up becoming DJs or part of that whole B-boy scene. You know, I look at, like, a lot of punk rock now, it's like, I'm like... You know where to go, because yo, the punk rockers ain't doing it. But that ethos, that thing, it will always exist, and it does.
Yeah.
Like, I could dress straight as fuck, and motherfuckers would still be like, "Yo, you just so punk rock." It's your attitude. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I remember I started seeing dudes, and some people might hate me for this, man, but it's just the fucking reality, because I was there in the early days, dude, when it was like, you didn't want to do the thing that the next person was doing because you wanted to have your own original, unique style. You wanted to make your mark, man. And it was all about unity too, man. Like, that's the big thing that got forgotten. I could walk up to any dude in another city and not even know. That's how I met Tim from Rancid, bro. Some dude gave me his number and I called him. I had no idea. Like, this was before Rancid was big, though. It was like right after Operation Ivy. And I didn't even know him. I cold called this motherfucker and was like, hey, man, I'm new in town, bro. I just came. It's fucking raining. He's like, yeah, come over. You know awesome. What I mean? Yeah. And next thing I know, I'm staying with him. I'm staying with Tim Armstrong. I'm staying with this dude, Kaz, who was the roadie for Green Day. I was sleeping on the floor. You know, you just, there was this sense of unity and togetherness, you know, that just, now you walk up to somebody, you're like, hey, man, they're like, I don't fucking know you.
Right,
you know
right, what I mean? Right. Now like, you call the cops if somebody cold calls
yeah,
you.
Yeah, like, yeah, to be crazy. Like, you're knocking on my door? What the fuck? I started seeing all these, like, with Lambs and all these other dudes where they're, like, building each other up and not tearing each other down.
Yeah. That's they're, what attracted me to
exactly.
It.
Yeah. And they're not doing cosplay, bro. They're not trying to relive something that, this is, I will stand by this, dude, to the rest of my life. Any scene, any punk scene has a life expectancy of 90 fucking days, and then it's dead. You have 90 days right there where all this new shit pops off, a new genre starts, right? It happened in 77, summer 77. That was a summer. People have been trying to relive that the past fucking almost 50 years, man. And you'll see these other scenes pop up, but then after 90 days, it's like, you gotta keep doing you. You know what I mean? Evolving.
Wait,
but they
want to
stay
77?
Captured in that 90 days. It's like when the Ramones, Debbie Harry, like all these bands are playing at CBGBs, like some like punk rock, like came out, you know? You want to keep that shit going or else you get greedy. Like, no, this is my scene. Like, I was here then. Like, I want to keep it like this. Well, motherfucker, you can't. Like,
someone's
going to
take your spot.
Look at what happened to punk now. You know, you just fucking can't. And then I start seeing all this other shit in the hip hop community and just rap or whatever. And I'm like, these dudes are doing what we used to do.
Yeah.
And it's dope. They're all living in one fucking studio in fucking Skid Row and just creating.
That's how it should be.
And everybody's supporting each other. And everybody's like, yo, that's dope. I don't know what that is, man, but that's fly as fuck. You know what I mean? And like, you can't see the rest of the world when you stay in that 90 days. Mm-hmm. When you stay in that era, you're not going to see anything else that's going on because you're measuring it all to this. Don't get stuck in that bubble, man, because I got plenty of friends that never left fucking spring of 1985, bro. They are still there.
They're still there.
Yeah, wow. In their minds, man. Yeah. They're fucking still there. And they're like, back in the day, you know? Those are deadly words, man.
Back in the day, right? Those are deadly words.
Or yo, when I showed up here, yo, I'm like, motherfucker, dude, I can't live off the food I ate yesterday. When you showed up here, all right, grandpa, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, what?
That's great advice.
Because you
man.
Act like nobody out here ain't doing shit. Everybody's doing shit, man. And people were more supportive of it and not caught in their little cliques, man. I mean, we could have some really dope shit going on. That's the way it was back then.
I'm gonna sound so ignorant, but what was the that fucking, like you said, summer of 77 where it all started, CBGBs. Do you have any story from that venue? Because I know it's so fucking legendary.
I mean, a little bit, man. I would just go see shows that they would have there, you know? I don't even know how many shows I've seen there, man. I've been kicked out of there a lot of times.
What was the vibe inside for people that have never been there?
Oh, it was fucking crazy, yo. It was like a football game almost, man. Like, it was different back then, man. You had a lot of girls in the scene, but you had a lot of dudes. And it was like...
Everyone slam dancing.
Yeah, everyone. Yeah. Shirts off, dude. I mean, now it would be kind of, you know... kind of considered a little homoerotic, you know what I mean? But like then it was like young kids, there was all this unity, and like everybody just be it just be a pile of meat of people just slamming, man, and like stage diving. Oh, it was
like
insane.
HR from the Bad Brains. I saw a video of him. He does a backflip, and when he lands, is right when the song starts. Like perfect,
dude.
Crazy.
Nah, I like the way this one dude described it. He goes, you know, New York, we're a little dumb, a little ugly, like poor, like you know what I mean. We're a little late to the game, you know, and during that era. But when New York caught up, they took it over.
You mentioned a lot of dudes. How were the women back then, the punk rock chicks? Because these days, especially on TikTok, it's like an aesthetic to dress all goth and punk as a joke. But how were they back then? I mean, were the fine women at CBGB's, man?
Oh, yeah. Dude, there's tons of hot punk chicks, man. There's tons of ugly ones, too. they were more real. These were people that were daring to be different. And to do that back then, it was like you really had to have balls, man. And some of these motherfuckers were just crazy.
You have any crazy
the
girlfriends
from
back in the day?
The women were fucking just hardcore, dude.
Were like, they all crazy though?
No,
no, really,
no. now?
I mean, some of them. I mean, I don't think it's any different than it is now. The only way I can express it is there wasn't all this look at me.
There's no social media, so it's like less
social media.
Off.
Yeah, it's like mad different, man. You know, the world today, like all that shit's acceptable. If you did that shit back then, people would make fun of you, dude. Like that, you would be like crucified, man. Yeah. Like, I mean, even taking a fucking selfie, man, they'd be like, what the fuck? But women were really doing shit, you know, because it was a kind of male-dominated scene.
Yeah.
So the girls really brought it. And then women ended up finding their own place in it. Tons of bands, whole movements. You know, Riot Girl shit, Bikini Kill. Like,
did they ever squat with you guys, though, in the trenches? Yeah. Really?
Hell yeah. Dude, damn. It wasn't just dudes. It was guys and girls. Yeah.
Damn.
Everybody had a girlfriend.
Really?
Like,
did you guys ever share girlfriends? Girls, you know, I feel like...
No, really? I mean, no. I mean, there'd be the occasional threesome, I'm sure. But, like, you know...
Hello.
It wasn't like... it wasn't like some kind of hippie shit. Although we did mess with them a lot in the traveling days. Like,
with hippies?
Yeah.
That's a whole different genre.
Because the
genre.
Whole dead thing was going on there.
Yeah, we got to talk about that.
Yeah, let's get into that. That was actually going to be the next topic, right? Apparently you have a Grateful Dead story. Is that true?
Yeah.
Grateful Dead concert story? What is that about?
No, dude, that was a Lollapalooza.
Oh, Lollapalooza.
That was a Lollapalooza. We were traveling all over the place, hopping trains and doing all that shit, right? So we're hippies too at the same time. And we meshed a lot. It was kind of like goths and punks, and then there was like these hippies. At first, it wasn't that big. It was cool. You know, you were like, oh, this is dope. So we all hung out, man. And a lot of those people ended up coming over to our scene. A lot of our people ended up meshing into that scene, you know? But we would show up in town, there'd be Dead shows. And then there was like that crew of Deadhead dudes. I always hung out on Shakedown Street, and they were the dudes that drank and partied.
Yeah,
they were hippies, but they would fucking beat your ass, man. Yeah. Like, they were like making money.
Did they have the balloon guys back then with the nitrous?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The nitrous dude, the hippie crack. That's what we called it, hippie crack. And you would hit that shit and just do wah, 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 wah. Yeah, like, everybody was making money on those things, though, man. I mean, they were making serious money, dude. I mean, dudes making grilled cheese sandwiches were making serious money.
Yeah.
Outside of the concert.
Yeah, yeah. Out in the lot, and then you have motherfuckers like just selling beers all summer, making fucking racks, bro. Like, and then you had to do selling drugs like acid and all that, and it was just everybody's making a killing, bro. A lot of people just making food. Yeah everything just started to kind of morph into each other around that time. But Lollapalooza, it was the very first Lollapalooza ever.
Yeah,
right. I remember I was still like a kid, man, and it was like Jane's Addiction, Rollins Band, the Butthole Surfers, and Ice-T's metal band Body Count played.
What?
Dude. Damn. Yo, Body Count. Body Count. Like, they played in, like...
Wait. You said Butthole Surfers?
Yeah. Yeah, the Butthole Surfers are lit, man. Yeah, damn. They're from Texas. So anyways, it was at this place called Firebird Raceway. It was a raceway, and there was this fence. It went, like, you know, it was an amphitheater, you know what I mean? But there was this fence. It was, like, kind of up on a hill. And some of my friends had went there a couple days before and, like, cut a hole in this fence, dude, behind a tent. And we're like, oh, yeah, we're going to sneak in. And there was, like, this big lot thing where everybody was partying. And this dude comes up to me and my friends and had all this barrel acid, dude, like this micro dot shit that I had never fucking seen before. We were, like, taking mass strips of acid at the time anyways. But these were, like, these little... It looked like a pellet. And he's like, yeah, man, dude. He's like this grunge dude. Just whacked out of his fucking mind. Kind of had like big eyes that were going in different directions. I fucking, like, he gives it to me. I'm looking at these three little things. I'm like, psh, and I take them. And he's like, whoa, dude. I'm like, ah, fuck it. I'll be fine. And we were drinking. And then that shit started to kick in, bro. And I was so high, dude. Like, I was just hallucinating my fucking ass off, man. And then the sun's going down. And the only thing I could think to do at this point, there's like this, we're outside of the festival now because we're going to sneak in. So there was this, like, the highway went over. And then there was a tunnel that went under the highway. And we were under there. And I'm just like, I got to get fucking drunk, dude, and overpower this fucking whatever this hallucinogen is that I took.
Does that work if you get drunk?
Well, you can kind of not give a fuck,
but
you're still going to be high, right? So I got to the I don't give a fuck kind of stage where I could, like, kind of, like, move around and function and not feel like, is everybody staring at me? Yeah. And then we're like, yo, let's go sneak in. And it was me and my friend Jesse and my friend Bart Young's little brother, Brent, who was like, I think he was like 14. I was only like 17, you know? So we're dipping through the desert, right? Because this was in Arizona. And there's just like cactuses and bushes. And I just see colors just like going through that. And then there's the fence with the
hole in it. We got our shirt off, so we got these big fucking mohawks, and we're ducking down and we're cruising. All of a sudden, this dude comes running through the desert, and he's like, yo, guys, man, hey, don't try to jump the fence. My friends just did, and they got caught. And we're like, yo, no, bro, we got a fucking, you know, we got a hole cut in the fence, man. Just come with us. Mm-hmm. He's like, all right, bet. So we start to go through, and then all of a sudden, this big buff, like, surfer dude with blonde hair comes fucking running through. He's like, get the fuck out of here. We just beat the shit out of a bouncer. And we're like, what? And he was so frantic and tripped out that we just blazed. And there was the I-10 was right there, right? The fucking freeway. Mm-hmm. And we're so out of our minds on this fucking ass. We get up there. I'm like, just act like you're hitchhiking. So we're standing there with no shirts on and these fucking mohawks, dude. Like, we're like kids. Like, right. Hey, what's up, man? No, we're just hitchhiking. And then I start seeing these little lights bobbing through the fucking desert, dude. And I'm like watching them on the other side of the freeway. Semis are flying by me. And I see these little lights. And all of a sudden, they all start coming together. And they all start coming towards us, man. These fucking gigantic VIP bouncers, man. And it's like they have these flashlights, right? Mm. And they have these fucking headsets on and shit. And they're like, I got fucking three of them over here, man. And fucking come up to like, get back. And then they surround us, man, on the side of the freeway. And we're like, what the fuck? We just hitchhiking. And they're getting all like hostile with us, man. So yeah, I come from a pretty violent fucking background, man, up to this point. And I'm like, the fuck back. And I pick up a rock and I'm like, the fuck away from me. This doesn't look good, dude. All of a sudden a truck pulls up. Fucking 10 more of these dudes come flying out and tackle us to the ground, dude, and put zip ties on us and have us on the ground. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I'm so fucking high on this fucking micro dot LSD, bro. Like, I'm laying on the pavement, zip tied, looking at my friends and looking at, like, what in the fuck, dude? Like, the dudes are like waiting for something to come back on their headset. And there was this one shorter dude, pretty jacked. And you could tell he was just looking for something, man. And I'm like, man, we didn't fucking do anything. Like, what the fuck are you doing, man? Like, dude, we were just, you know, trying to get into the show. We're hitchhiking, blah, 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 you know? He's like, shut the fuck up. And I was like, go fuck your mother. And the dude just lost it and flew over and dug his knee in my back and started smashing my face into the ground, dude. Oh my God, this is gravel, dude, on the side of a highway, bro. And then my friend Jesse tries to get, he's like, hey, and he's like trying to get up, and they grab him by his ankles and start dragging him around on his chest.
Jesus.
And my friend Bart's little brother is just crying. I'm all beat that my face is just like pulp. They grab us and put us in the back of the car. One of the bouncers mentions like this bouncer guy getting beat with a pipe. And that's the other thing. We're like, yo, we did not beat anybody with anything, right? So I got in the back of the cop car and I'm like, listen, man, to the cop. I'm like, we didn't fucking do shit. Like, we didn't beat no dude with a fucking pipe, nothing. And he's like, I didn't say nothing about no pipe. That went into the police report that I brought up the pipe before he did. And McLean, that I had knowledge of what happened before they even said anything. I'm like, no, do that. You know, like, so he's like, we're in the back of the car. We're all fucked up. And we're just like, what is happening? And they drive us around to the parking lot, right? Mm-hmm. And they fucking have the blonde buff ass surfer dude in handcuffs. And they put him in the front of the cop car. Back then, dude, people snitch like crazy these days, dude. They'll just be like, call the cops. And if you did that shit back then, you were ostracized, man. Like, you would get killed, man. It was like burned into your fucking psyche that you just did not do that shit, you know? So the cop gets out the car, man. We're like, yo, dude, you better fucking tell them what happened, man. And we're so fucked up, dude. This dude's like, yo, don't say nothing. They're about to let us go. They don't know nothing. And we're like, okay. And they pull us around the back of the concert. The cop gets out. He got back in the car and drove around. The cop gets out, comes over, pulls this dude out of the car and says, is that them? And the guy goes, yeah, that's them. And then they put the dude back in the car and the cop gets in the car and I'm like, no, it's him. And he's like, why didn't you tell me that before? And I'm like, we ain't snitches. You know, he felt stupid, you know, like, so they take this dude to the fucking off ramp, dude, and cut him loose. The guy that actually did it. You know what I mean? So we find out that this fucking bouncer, this guy and like, you know, a bunch of his friends beat this dude almost to death. Into a coma
and they thought
with
it was
a piece of rebarb, dude. And fucking the dude had to be airlifted out of there and was in a coma for months. Shit. Yeah. So they fucking take us. We finally get booked and we're sitting in jail, dude, for almost 3 months, dude.
3 months?
What the
fuck? Yeah, man. On aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. If this dude dies, it's going to be murder, attempted murder. Like, and we're just like, holy fuck, man. Like, we didn't do this, man. You know, even my old man, he was like, what did you do? And I was like, I swear I didn't do this one, you know? Like, and then the guy comes out of the coma and they show him pictures of us. And the guy's like, no, that wasn't him. And they're like,
wow.
Sorry, just cut us loose. Let us go.
Wow.
Sorry about that.
Off your life.
And this was the first Lollapalooza?
Literally the very first one ever. It was like, it started there.
Where was it?
This was in Phoenix.
You were in the desert. That's crazy.
Yeah,
it
was
that
in
is
a desert,
setting
bro.
And a half
yeah.
right there.
We should talk about the New Mexico ghost story while we're in the desert.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You have a ghost story for us?
Yeah, I don't know what it was, bro. But, well, I do know what it was. I was living in New Orleans, and then Katrina hit. I had a bunch of friends that were in Taos, New Mexico, and they lived out on the Mesa. And the Mesa is this spot out in Taos that's like, they used to raffle off all this land at the World's Fair back in the 20s and 30s. They're like, win land and beautiful, you know. Well, it was on a Mesa, and the shit gets all fucking muddy and shit. So you could buy land out there really fucking cheap. Like, people are buying acres, half acres for like 150, 200 bucks. And there's no building code out there. So like, all these like outlaws and fucking hippies and survival do-it-yourselfers like bought land out there and are building like these airships, bottle capped houses, container fucking houses. But these things don't look like the shit you see on TV, bro. It looks like Mad Max out there.
So it's like Burning Man before Burning Man.
Burning Man before Burning Man.
Wow. Right? Like, Mad Max is a
Burning
crazy
Man
reference.
Poser cities, dudes, right? It's right on the other side of the Rio Grande Bridge, dude. That's the one you see in all the movies, the biggest bridge. Like, if you watch Natural Born Killers where they're getting married, it's also the suicide capital of the fucking US, dude. Like, people will drive thousands of miles just to jump off that motherfucker. Jeez. You know, like it's dark, man. And this area in New Mexico is called the Enchanted Circle. Right? And it's just fucking weird out there. It's where like Los Alamos is, and you see shit in the sky all the time. And there's the Taos Hum, where like 50% of the people hear this hum there that makes them go crazy.
New Mexico.
Yeah. This is in Mexico, right? It's really high desert. So out there on the Mesa, man, like I said, all these airships, all that. This one dude had a fucking coliseum, like a Roman coliseum, built out of like OVWs and cars, and had a stage, and they have shows out there. It was like straight up Mad Max. That's shit, so man. Cool. And there's all these characters out there. But I remember my friend Zoe, she had this bottled house. It was like this big dome house, man. And she's like, yeah, you know, it's cool out here. I mean, the shadow people used to fuck with me, but they leave me alone now. And I'm just like thinking, I was like, whatever. I'm like, listen, man, you just been out in the desert too long. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so it was broken up into different units, and there was three peaks and two peaks. Right? Three Peaks was kind of on the mountainside. A lot of the people from the beginning are all living over there. People got a little bit more together. Down in the valley, way more fucking Mad Max, dude, right? Two Peaks, straight up, people that just can't not even function in society live out there, dude. Like,
and these are little communities that they built themselves? Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
Craziest neighborhood in the U.S.,
wow,
dude.
Wow, so literally Mad
dude,
Max.
Dude, I never thought a place like this could exist in the U.S.,
I never knew.
Dude. It's literally like all these homes, you know, out there. It's all these weird people, artists, like all kinds of different people, you know? I had this dude, he's like, yo, man, you can go stay in my fucking like trailer. It's on unit 4. And unit 4 was where all the crazy motherfuckers lived, dude. Like, this dude cowboy would just start shooting his gun off, dude. I remember one time my girl walking down the street, dude kicks open his fucking I start hear bam, and I'm seeing tish tish. And I look over and this dude's just shooting from his house, man. And I'm like, what the fuck? And like, we duck behind this van, me and my girl, and there's like a big ass trailer right here. And it was these other people live there. They call themselves like the welcoming community. I see this trailer door kick open, and he's got an AR-15, and he just starts blasting rounds at him. He's like, fuck off, cowboy.
Holy and I'm like, shit, man.
And we're like, fuck. He's like, get in the fucking trailer. I'm like, I'm not getting in that trailer, dude. That ain't gonna stop a fucking 45 bullet. So it was like shit like that. It was like people like that out there.
I had
there,
no idea that ever existed.
But my buddy Jay lived up there, and he was hella cool, man. He actually knew my mom, which was crazy. And he did, yeah. And, he's like, I knew Mary, you know. So one day Jay would go and get all this produce from all these different farmers, and he would kind of set up like a little like food bank thing up there. You know, and you're out there, man. Just walk into your neighbor's spot, it's fucking far. It's nothing but sage, and everything's in a grid. Mm-hmm. It's just sage, you know. But I'm like, hey, I'm gonna go up to Jay's and get some shit, you know. So I go over there, I hang out with Jay, and he gives me a fucking big thing of food, and I'm carrying the food back, right? And I'm in between Cowboy's place and that other spot, man, and I hear this dog bark. I turn around and I see this dude standing there. It's kind of dark out, but it's like I could just see the silhouette, and I was like, that's a fucking cowboy, dude. And I'm like, whatever, man. So I keep walking, and I hear this dog barking, and I turn around, and the dog comes up to this thing and is barking at it. And I can tell you the color of the dog, dude. It was like an Australian Shepherd, dude, one of the red ones. You know what I mean? And like, but I can't see this figure. And I was like, what the fuck? And I like turn around and I start walking. All of a sudden it pops up in the sage right next to me. And I'm like, what the fuck? And then I get cruising, and then it pops up over here. And I start tripping at this point, but then I start getting pimp. You know what I mean, dude? Like, I pick up a rock and I'm like, fuck out of here. I don't know what it is at this point, man. He is a person or like whatever. But I could tell it's not really a person, but my brain is just not understanding. Standing like what the fuck I'm seeing. And then I just start cruising, man, and then it just starts popping up over here, and then I would see it over here on this side, and it's just like if I looked away it would disappear, and then it would come back up. So I start getting freaked out, dude, because it's I got a long fucking walk, dude, at night out in the middle of the desert, not a soul around, by myself except for me and this fucking shadowy fucking shadow person, you know. And so I start fucking picking up speed, and then it just starts it's on this side, then it's on this side. I get to my road that goes to the trailer and the other like settlements up there, man. man, and it just goes into black. You know, like, at this point, man, I'm so fucking freaked out. I cannot keep my cool no more, bro. I drop the food in the fucking street and just start booking it. And I'm running, and this thing's just like, on both sides of me, man, popping up. And I'm like, and I run down the street. I get up to the trailer, and I fucking fly through the fucking door and slammed it, man. And my girl, I'm like, and my girlfriend's like, what the fuck, man? And I'm like, there's a fucking shadow person following me. And I look outside, and the thing is standing out there outside. You can see it. And I grab her, and I'm like, that fucking thing. And she's like, who is that? So she sees it, dude. Mm-hmm. And that's when I was really like, holy shit. You know what I mean? Like, I might just be tripping. But we're not both tripping. She gets freaked the fuck out, dude. Like, terrified, man. The fucking thing hung out there for 3 fucking days, bro. Just moving around out there, dude.
Did you ever leave your house?
Well, yeah. Not for a couple days, dude. It was freezing fucking cold, man. Yeah. You know, we had like a wood-burning stove. And I had to cut wood. And then, you know, I've read enough shit and seen enough stuff about where, like, things thrive off of fear and shit like that. Mm. You know? So I'm just like, man, fuck this motherfucker, man. You know, he ain't gonna fucking what? He ain't come in here and gotten us. He ain't gonna get us, you know? So, like, I go outside and I just start cutting wood and I'm just ignoring it, right? It never comes, like, right up to me. It's, like, right there. And I was just like, you still here? I'm like, whatever, you know? Doing that. I was, like, saying shit like that playing to it, man.
Yeah.
I was, like, fucking.
You were gaslighting a ghost.
Yeah. I was ghost busting. When I just started going about my fucking business, man. And then the thing fucking went away.
Did you tell anyone?
I went to Zoe, who told me about this fucking things in the first
and
place.
She was like, I told you.
And I was like, yo, I saw one of those things. She's like, yeah, I told you. Don't worry, they won't mess with you no more. And that's what she said in the beginning. Fuck? She said, yeah, the shadow people used to fuck with me quite a bit. So check this out, dude. So me and my buddy were going into the store, right? We're walking in, and the Pueblo Indians are there, right? They're like a real wealthy, like, kind of tribe. Mm-hmm. And they have this mountain. There's all kinds of shit written about this mountain. You're not allowed on it, just Pueblos, you know? And they're really traditional. They wear skirts and everything. And there's this old Indian Mexican lady. She's, like, yelling at my friend. She's like, Diablo. Like, calling him, like, the devil and, like, some other shit. And we're like, no, we're cool. And then this Indian dude comes up. Like, he's like this traditional dude. He has a stress thing on with his pants underneath. You know, he has a ponytail. And he's like, no, man. She doesn't think you're evil, man. She's like, you guys live out on the mesa, right? And we're like, yeah. He goes, yeah, you guys ain't supposed to be there. He's like, she calling you crazy. And I'm like, what do you mean, man? And he was like, well, up on the mountain, because there's a lake up there. And he's like, when we do our ceremonies up there, it looks right down onto the mesa. And he was like, that's where the spirits live, man. Like the Kachina spirits, the other spirits, they all live down there. He's like, they're not good or evil, dude, but you ain't supposed to live with them. You know, like, you're not supposed to be down there living with them. They'll make you crazy, you know?
Oh my God.
That's wild that they knew about it.
Yeah. No, he totally knew about it. And I'm like, whoa, and it just made everything make sense, dude. I'm like, everybody on that fucking hill, dude, they were all insane. They all had went crazy, dude.
Is it still up today, you think?
Oh yeah.
Unit 4? No way.
Yeah, it's all still there, dude.
Wow.
Yeah, they even built this big ass bar. So this dude Mike, man, who builds all these earthships all over the place, right? Now he builds them in Africa because it's all the sustainable living and stuff, man. Mm-hmm. They built this giant fucking brewery out there called the Mesa. It's got all these different stages and amphitheaters, but they're all made out of like bay hell. Mm-hmm. It's a tripped out place, dude. You should go.
Damn, now I kind of want to visit. It just sounds crazy.
Yeah, but it's crazy out there, man. It's like such high altitude and it's so quiet. And you hear shit, you see shit in the sky too all the time, man.
Let me ask you this. Oh, and you mentioned this. I really want to hear about this. Is it true that you had some sort of an encounter with a bear?
Oh yeah.
What happened with the bear?
So in like 97, you know, we're traveling all over the place and I have friends that were going up to Alaska, mm-hmm. you know, to even go to London back then, dude, it seemed like another fucking world. Now it's like flying to fucking Oklahoma.
6 hours.
Yeah, dude, like it's like nothing. Everywhere was very separated back then. There's no internet, but no place like Alaska, you know.
That's what they say.
And I had friends that were going up there. I'm like, yo, that sounds lit. Like, yeah, let's go up to Alaska. We'll go up there and work and make a bunch of money and then go live down in Mexico for the rest of the winter or something, you know? It's me, my girlfriend, and my friend Creighton. You would have to go up to Bellingham, Washington, and then take a ferry from Bellingham up to Alaska, depending on where you were going. We had a bunch of friends that lived in Bellingham, too. So the ferry was like $200, and it was a ferry boat with like 2 decks, and you pitch your tent on the deck. It's a 5-day ride up to Alaska. Dude, we had a blast, man. Like, it was so much fun. We ran into these Hell's Angel dudes, man, and we broke into the kitchen, and we stole all this food out the ferry boat. So yeah, we started taking a boat up there. I remember one time we were drinking with those Hell's Angel dudes. I was like, yo, what time is it? And it was just beautiful, man. Also, sudden, like, bald eagles are, like, fucking pigeons flying around, dude. Like, they're everywhere, man. It's like, oh, look, there's a bald. Oh, there's another one. There's another one. There's fucking whales and otters and the landscape, dude. Like, you just can't even explain it. Pictures don't even do justice. It's so massive, dude. Huge. You literally feel like you're at the end of the earth.
Yeah, they say it's so beautiful not to visit it too early in your life because everything else is just not as beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, that's what they say. So, like, I remember I was like, what time is it? And he looks, says, and then he looks up and he looks at his watch. He's like, it's 3 a.m. and the sun was just at a sunset. You know?
Oh, wow.
Like, so, anyways, right before we left, man, we watched that fucking movie with Anthony Hopkins and one of the Baldwins, you know, where that bear stalks him. Mm-hmm. And we're going to Alaska where there's fucking bears everywhere, right? And all of a sudden, I'm freaked out about bears a little bit already, right? So, the particular place we were going to was Sitka, Alaska, and it's on Baranof Island, which has got the largest brown bear population out of any island in the fucking world, you know? And it's like rainforest and stuff out there. It's northern rainforest, you know? We were camped out on this hill working at canneries and on boats and stuff called Gavin Hill, and a bunch of people would camp there and then work in the canneries. This town only had like 13 miles of paved road. So fucking anywhere you went, if you go to walk into the woods, which was fucking everywhere, dude, like there'd be a big fucking sign, like a bear warning. And it's just all these things not to do if you encounter a bear. Don't climb a tree. Don't run. Don't curl up in a ball. Protect your neck. Like, you know, like, and then at the very bottom, it says, if the bear keeps gnawing on you, he's mistaking you for food. Fight vigorously. That's the fucking last thing it says. And we're living out here, bro. So you just start hearing more and more stories, man. And you don't see a fucking bear. Mm. They're everywhere, dude. And these things aren't small, man. They're like 2,500 pounds, 3,000 pounds.
Yeah.
They're bigger than fucking grizzlies. Mm-hmm. Grizzlies are just more like pit bulls. You'd see bear tracks, but you never see them, dude. They were like stealthy. But if the wind's going in a different direction and they are and they don't smell you, you spook it, you're fucking done. So everybody's camped out up there and we just party and drink and work all the time. And it was pretty fun. It was fucking gorgeous. The ground is just like moss. It looks like some shit out of a storybook, dude. Like the sunsets are golden. Like, I mean, it's incredible, man. But like it rains all the time, dude, right? Mm. So like underneath the canopy, even though the sun's only going to a sunset and coming back up, it never really goes down. Under the canopy, you can't see your hand in front of your fucking face, dude. It's the trees. It just creates like a ceiling. And it's giant oak growth. But the ground is just all moss and it's so wet. You take a step and like a foot diameter, it shakes. So you can't put a tent on the fucking ground. It'll get wet. You're soggy ass. So you have to build a fucking platform and put your tent up there. And my ass, man, I built this big ass platform with the tent. And I had like a mother camp, dude. Like I just brought all this shit up there. We were up on top of this hill and everybody else was like down here. And sometimes we'd get back from working and we'd only sleep like 3 or 4 hours and have to go back to work, dude. Mm-hmm. Like it was crazy, you know? And we'd pass out and wake up and there'd be bear shit 4 feet from the tent. Like, I mean, massive, a fucking bear shit.
And you didn't hear it?
No, nothing. Wow. He walked right through, dude. And we're in the tent sleeping.
Like, wait, let me get this straight. You are now squatting in Alaska, basically.
Yeah, yeah, in Alaska.
Wow,
yeah.
You're out in the real woods. Right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah.
Waking up, going to work and coming home to a tent?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So it was like, in the woods there, like I said, it's so dark and everything looks the same. They call it going missing up there, dude. And they have all this folklore about like things that'll bring you out into the woods, you know. And
oh yeah,
literally I could walk 10 feet out of my camp and get lost and never be found again, dude. I developed a really healthy case of what I call paranoia. Paranoia bears, man. Like, you know. So one night we come back from the bar. I'm drunk as fuck, man. And so my girl, like, we come back and then like we're just going through the woods with flashlights following the trail. You know what I mean? We get into our tent and just laying there and starting to crash out. And we're just quiet because we're like falling asleep. The whole tent starts going like, it was like Jurassic Park, you know, when the T-Rex is taking the steps and that glass of water, the ripples. Yeah. It was like that, and I'm like, fuck is that, you know? And then I start to hear this thing, like, sniffing and rooting around, man, and it was, like, so guttural. I'm like, this isn't a dog. This is
it's not a
something
deer.
Massive with lungs the size of your fucking torso. And I'm like, holy fuck, dude. I can hear like, like out there. And Ten's still doing that. And I'm like, he doesn't know we're here. That's the only thing I had in my head. And we're going to spook this motherfucker, man. Dude, I'm so terrified at this point, dude, because he's just out there. Dude. He's like right there, dude. I could hear his breath, man. Mm. All I had was this big, long knife. It was called the Bushman. It had this dude on it with a spear. Just had it. I thought it was cool. It was all big. And I got my arm over my girl, and I got my knife like this. And I'm looking at it going, fuck, what the fuck is this? Is just going to piss this bear off, dude. Like, you know? And I came up. I was like, all right, well, this is what's going to happen. If he comes in, I can stab him, and then he'll come at me, and she can get away. That's what's going to happen. Yeah. In either scenario, I end up mauled and dead by a bear, dude, right?
Yep.
I'm like this, and I'm like, holy fuck. And I want to say something, dude, to like let this dude know we are here, but I don't want to spook it. Imagine being in that situation, dude. You got a wild animal
drunk
the size
too.
Of a fucking semi-truck outside, yeah. Dude, who is like, your next move, dude, is like, you're going to die a horrible death, being ripped to shreds, or
they eat you
you're
going to
scare
right?
this thing. So what do I say?
You got to be like, yo, bro. So,
yeah, but see, that's the thing. You spook them, they're going to fucking kill you. So I'm like this, and next thing you know, this thing rubs up against the loft, dude, and the whole loft goes up sideways like this, and then wham, comes back down, and we're like, and at that point, I was like, he's coming in. So I was so scared, dude, and all I could get out, dude, was, go away, bear. Like, that was it. It got silent, dude. Maybe for like half a second, but at any moment, it felt like an eternity. It was like the scariest moment of my life. I mean, I've had guns in my face. I've been shot at. But I'd rather be shot than be mauled to death by a bear. And then this thing just fucking like takes off. And I could just hear fucking trees snapping and shit breaking. And this thing just fucking tearing the ground up, dude. But he split, you know, in a hurry.
Wow.
All these people started waking up from it, man. And they're like, oh my God, it's a bear. Dutch, are you okay? I get outside my tent. I just collapse. So I'm like, I couldn't even say anything. And yeah, that was like my Baron kind of. The next day, I went and bought a 30-06.
Man, the next day you were like, take me back to Thompson Square
yeah,
Park.
Yeah, take me back to Tompkins, yeah.
Damn, that is nuts, man. Alaska isn't the
bullets.
Type of place where you could just, you know, live outside, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Were you there in the summer?
Yeah, I was there in the summer.
Oh, right, okay. God damn.
Yeah, bears.
You said,
I ended up getting one tattooed on my palm, too.
Oh, is that a bear? Ah,
yeah,
a look
bear
at that.
With the trees, like that was that.
You said, you mentioned you got shot at. What happened? Who shot at you?
Shot at a few times, man. I've been shot. When I was a kid, my friends got into it with these dudes. It really was no big deal. You know what I mean? And these guys came by and fired off rounds. Yeah, I ended up getting hit. My friend got shot through the hand. And then other times, just being shot at. One time in LA, I remember, this is funny though. I've had people, you know, with guns on me, and you just gotta kind of like
stay calm,
talk your way out of a bullet. You know what I mean? Because most of the time, somebody ain't really gonna, but you never know. I had one dude pull a gun on me, and there was no clip in it.
So he pulled the trigger, and there was no clip in it?
No, he's like, what, motherfucker?
Oh,
and I'm like,
tell.
What? Yeah. Like, yeah, what are you yeah. getting? I just went at him. We started beating the shit out of him. But I was in LA. I was staying in East LA with my friend Ezekiel, and we were in Hollywood on the other side of the one. Sketchy. And my buddy Squid and LaWanda and all them, they like had this little apartment. It was like all these punk rockers hanging out. But like, you know, in LA, it's like mad cholos to hang out in that scene. But there was this apartment right next door. They were in like these little bungalow things. It was like a little two-story spot with a big wraparound balcony. And it was all these white fence dudes up there having this big party, you know? Fucking me and Zeke went to the store to get some 40s. We're walking back and I see my girl and like my friend Squid and Jesse and all these people like standing in the street, and then all the vatos were up there fucking partying, and then all of a sudden just pop, pop, pop. And I see my girl and everybody just drop. Mm. They're up here. They're down. I think they're shooting at them. I fucking just start blazing, running over there, man. And then I would hear this like that real quick.
Wow. Little whistle.
You know? Yeah, yeah, little whistle.
They were shooting at you.
I see this dude come running at me. I'm not even thinking any of this, dude. I'm just going off. Like, that's I saw funny. My girl and my friends drop. I'm running towards him. You know what I mean? And this dude's running towards me. And my buddy Zeke comes up and tackles me into the bushes. He's like, stay the fuck down, eh? Like, you know? So they were shooting at the dude that was running towards me. And I was running towards him.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, so like, that little whoosh that I was hearing was bullets flying by me, man. Yeah, it was crazy.
You said you got locked up in LA?
Yeah.
What was that like?
That was crazy,
yeah,
bro.
Tell me about that.
That's a fucking animal farm, bro. Yeah. Like, I was in LA a few times, man. I was in Men's Central Jail, dude, which is right downtown LA, man. You got everybody from East Los to Crenshaw to fucking Long Beach, everyone. Now, I got some crazy stories about LA County. So this was the first time I was in there, right? I get locked up. They send me over to the Two Towers. Everybody's like, yo, man, you got to make some shit up. Say you're on medication or something. So they put you in a chill pod or something like that. So
So I'm like, I got bipolar, you know, and they put me in a medical unit and the chick figures out I don't got bipolar. So I've already got a crew at this point and there's some politics, but not a lot of politics, right? I'm fucking sitting there and like, I'm playing cards with these dudes. I got a little crew. There's this one crazy dude that keeps making fucking pirate hats out of fucking newspaper and shit and swords. He's like, out there. And all of a sudden they start calling for old CJ, which is Old County Jail. And they're like, Welch, but, and then everyone sitting around me goes, no. They're like, listen, dude, keep your fucking head down. Just stay with your blah, blah. And then the crazy dude with the fucking pirate paper hat, he's like, there's rats and roaches over there like an undefeatable army. And I'm like, what the fuck, man? And then I look and then like, I see everybody getting in line to be pulled out. And it's just all these fucking thugged out dudes. I forget what I look like even, you know, so like, I probably fit right in with them. And then they bring you down to like, so here's Twin Towers and here's Old County Jail. And then here's LA. It goes underneath the city, bro. And they cut you loose under the city. So they're like, you follow the yellow line, you follow the red line, you follow the blue line, man. I fall on the red line. And I go from holding cell to holding cell. And I'm we're walking by ourselves, man.
Like, really?
Yeah. Damn. Where are you going to go? And they fucking know this shit. But yo, the ones that you had to worry about were not the murderers, the gangsters, any of that shit. You had to worry about the fucking COs, the sheriffs, dude. I never met, they were all gangbangers too. They had their own gangs. I'll get into that in a little bit. So I go from holding cell to holding cell. I'm walking past these old abandoned cells too, because this jail has been there forever. And this is the Old County Jail, right? I finally get to this spot, 5,000 block. And that was where I was being housed at this point. And it was these big steel doors, man. And it was like, and there's like graffiti in there. It's very much gangster. Like there's murals all over the place that people did. And then this like graffiti 5,000 block. There's like the CO window right there where they're all in there and like the module pod thing. These fucking metal doors open. Dude, it's just like rows of bunks, dude. Just concrete block. No windows, no fucking air.
It was all in one room?
Yeah, all in one room. Crazy. It was a dorm. It's like over here, dude, just rows of bunks. So over here, it's like 350 black, right? 170 paisas, 475 Southsiders, and like six white dudes in the back. You know what I mean? I walk in and the house mouse, right? So it's really political in there, man. It's political by race. And that's just to keep things cool because it will pop the fuck off if it's not. So it's not that it's like racial, like people are racist and stuff. Each one has their rep and then they control what's going on in there. So if I was to step out and just hit a fucking, you know, a black dude or a Southsider, you know, my own people would get me because it wasn't, so it wasn't approved. Yeah. It wasn't sanctioned, you know, and there's all these different rules if you fuck up, man. Like, are you doing 1500 burpees for the next 5 days, you know, or
burpees?
Yeah.
Damn.
So it's really structured, man. Right. There's a lot of politics on the West Coast in jails. Here it's like whatever, you know. I mean, you have them, but it's different. When I walk in, there's a house mouse, right? He's the leader of all the reps, right? He's the one that like talks to the COs and is basically runs the whole block, and he's a paisa dude. You know, which the paisas are the guys from Mexico. Oh. You got the Southsiders, which are the homies. And then you got the fucking paisas, which are like what you would call like cartel dudes now. You know what I mean? Like dudes from Mexico.
I thought you were talking about like astronomy signs, like Pisces.
Nah. And them motherfuckers are a force to be reckoned with. I'm walking and I'm just like, holy fuck, I have arrived. I've been all over the place, man. I've been in tons of slums, ghettos, grew up in them, you know. But this place.
Final boss.
This is where they put the worst of the worst. You know what I mean? I get to the back and there's this like little 19-year-old skinhead looking dude and he's like, hey, what's up, man? Come here. And as I was walking, dude, there's one other guy. He comes up. He was the surfer meth cook and he was like, Orange County, man. You know, I takes my hand. I'm like, New York, you know, like whatever. They take us back there and this dude's going through the rules, man. He's like, there's seven phones, right? We can only use one. We got to share with the Pisces, but if a Southsider needs to use it, you got to get off. And I'm just like, he's going through these rules, dude. Like, yo, you can't trade with these guys. You can't do that. You can't. You're at the bottom of the pole if you're with these wood motherfuckers, man, which I didn't want to be with anyways, you know? He's sitting there going over these rules, man, and me and Steve are just looking at each other going, what the fuck? Oh, and there's this bearded guy in there, and I'll tell you about him in a minute. All of a sudden, this commotion goes on down by the south side, down the line, you know, where there's the bunks. Because we're right here. Pisces are in front of us. And then the whole row up against the walls, is like three different rows, was all Southsiders. They were like right across from us. And on this side was all like black, you know? These Southsiders, they're all bald with stashes and tattoos on their face. You know, I'm like real essays, dude. Surround this corny-ass white dude with a mullet before fucking hipsters started getting mullets. You know what I mean? They had like a Pegasus tattoo. I mean, all that shit would probably be considered cool in Brooklyn now, but it was like hillbilly as fuck, man. And you're like, what is this dude doing here? Fucking Smokey, he's the rep for the Southsiders. He's just fucking
bitch slaps this dude. Grown ass man. Just back. And then my rep goes over there and he fucking just grabs this dude. And my rep's like 19. This guy's like in his 30s or 40s, I think. And he's like, get the fuck on your bunk. Get the fuck on your bunk. He's handling him. And then my rep, I could see him over there. He's like pleading. Dude, this is like a 19-year-old kid, dude. Like, he's pleading with these dudes, and then he comes back over, and he just sits on the bunk, and he just buries his hands in his face, man, and he's like, I don't want to be rep anymore. And we're like,
me
and
not this a good sign.
Dude are looking at each other, and we're like, dude, what the fuck happened? I know I've only been here a couple minutes, dude, but you can't do this. Can't have you falling apart right now. Like, I'm not ready to take over. Like, I just got here. Because me and this other dude looking at each other, we're the only able-bodied guys. Everybody else was just like these derelict fucking Skid Row drunks. He's like, yo, he disrespected Smokey, the rep of the Southsiders. And Smokey said, if we don't take care of him, they're gonna take care of all of us. And me and the meth cook, surfer dude, we like look down and we see 400 Southsiders dudes looked out, just staring at us, dude. And then we look at the dude and we're like, I'm sorry, bro. And I'm on top of the dude and I'm like, I get at him, right? And this is like right in the very beginning. We haven't even started fucking him up yet, dude, right? I'm like making it look good. I'm not giving him full throttle yet. And I'm like, dude, we're just gonna roll you. Make it look good. Just make it look good. We're not gonna fuck you up. We're just gonna roll you. Just make it look good. This motherfucker, dude, starts fighting for his life, dude. Like we're trying to rape him. And he's so we have to like fuck this dude up, dude. I didn't want to. I'm like, what am I doing? I just got here. You know what I mean? Like, fucking stop fighting back. And the meth cook surfer dude, he's fucking losing it, dude. Like, and then finally, one of the fucking Southsider dudes comes over. He's like, all right, that's enough. You know, because you don't want them to find out in the front. They're going to shut the whole place down, lock it down, and then they search everything. And so the place was overcrowded, man. And there was like people sleeping on the fucking ground. There was like at least like 50 people sleeping on the ground that had a bunk. Yeah, and all this happened in the first 15 fucking minutes I was there. That's crazy. Bro. 15 minutes.
And so the Southsiders like you now, though, because they just saw you beat the shit out of this guy?
Nah, they don't necessarily like me yet, but they saw me handle business and they respected it, you know, and I just showed up. So I earned a spot in between two dudes on two bunks squeezed together. I'm like laying there with two guys.
Sounds like an awful slumber party.
But there's the really quiet bearded dude. That was funny, man. So the guy's up there coughing and I'm like, I mean, I just feel bad, dude. You know what I mean? I'm like, this poor fucking dude. And he's like, and I get up and I said, hey, look, you know, I'm really sorry that that had to happen. I don't know you, but I'll be fucking damned if I'm gonna get killed over you for doing some dumb shit you shouldn't have been doing, dude. But dude, I apologize. Like, you know, is there anything I can do for you? And the guy's like, no, it's okay. I understand, man. And I was like, what are you doing here, man? And he's like, I'm from Iowa. And I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, me and my girl came out here to get married and just drink some beers under the Hollywood sign, like some Midwest shit you would come up with watching a fucking Brad Pitt movie or some shit. Right. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, well, what did they arrest you for? And he's like, they arrested me for being under the influence of cocaine. I was like, did they bust you with any cocaine? He's like, no, just being under the influence. Because in LA, they can arrest you. They do this eye thing with the flashlight. Right. Okay, yeah, you're high on meth. Yeah, you're high on coke. You go to jail. And I'm like, and you ended up here? So anyways, by morning, this dude's all pale and coughing up blood and shit, man. And I'm like, yo, dude, you need to go to the fucking ER. Just go up there and tell him you fell off your bunk. He goes up there. They shut the whole fucking place down, dude. They come back. Like, what, he fell off the bunk 9 times? You know, I'm like, they fucking search everybody, dude. We're like, here. So at this point, walking back, and then Smokey from the Southsiders, he was like, hey, what's up, eh? He's like, you a tattoo artist? And I wasn't at the time, but I had a lot of tattoos, but I lied. I could draw, you know, and I was like, yeah, I'm a tattoo artist. And he showed me stuff that he draws because he did tattoos. And then we just start rapping more and more. And he's like, yo, why don't you take over, man? Be rep over there, man. Fuck that white boy. Just take his shit. And I was like, dude, yo, I don't even want to be with these dudes, man. And then I started noticing there was all these white, even black SA dudes, right? Like, they don't care about your race, dude. You know what I mean? There's tons of white, like the dude that runs El Norte, and I think the dude that runs Serrano's now, they're both white dudes that just grew up in the barrio. You know, in LA, it's like that. Like, there's dudes with like red, blue beards and shit, like, what's up, babe? And they're just white dudes, you know? And
last name is Smith.
And oh, yeah, and Asian dudes and shit. Too.
Asian dudes?
Yeah.
Nah. They'd be like, what the fuck?
They'd be like, ho, and he's like, what's up, babe? Like, you know, like, what? Yeah. It's just like that there,
damn,
dude. So they care more about numbers and shit. So I end up like developing this like little friendship with Smokey and this dude Paylon. After like 2 weeks, man, he's just like, man, fuck the, why don't you just come over here? And I'm like, yeah, all right. Because they would like have two dudes watching at night. They all had coffee and they shared everything. And they were just fucking cool dudes too, yeah. Man. They had your back. If you were with them, you were cool.
Yeah, more numbers.
Too. Yeah, if you weren't, you were an outsider. So I was like, all right, bet. I had short hair at the time, man, but you have to shave your head. You know, we only had these little fucking big razors that you could barely even slice your wrist with. So I go in the bathroom, dude, and this dude bicks my head. And I look like, when I got it shaved, I got tattoos all over my head, dude. I look scary, dude. I got these big ears, fucking sharp ass features back then. I look like the dude from Hills Have Eyes, man. So yeah, I roll with those dudes, man. And then the guy with the beard that was hanging out there was Robert Downey Jr. when he was locked up. Yeah, yeah, it was Robert Downey Jr.
And he was just minding his business?
Out with people? Bro. Yeah. No. We shoot the shit and stuff, but he wasn't a big famous. He wasn't fucking Iron Man at that time, bro. Yeah. He did like less than zero and some other shit.
So how did you first run into him? When those first 15 minutes, you saw Robert Downey Jr. walk by?
Yeah, he was just there, and he's just like, so this is what he did that was genius, because everybody knew who he was. Mm-hmm. But you're in L.A., nobody gives a fuck if you're famous, dude, or an actor, you know what I mean? But you don't want to be a mark. So for these dorms, dude, they had these little tiny TVs that were like that big, built into the wall. The only thing anybody ever watches in fucking jail is Cops for some reason, and I have no idea why, bro.
Wow, that's
but it's Cops, Cops, Cops. Put it on Cops, hey! You know, and like,
damn,
what Robert Downey Jr. did is he got all these used televisions and donated them to the jail. All of a sudden, we got these big ass, big screen TVs, but they're the old ones, you know? Mm-hmm, like, and nobody fucked with them. They let him rock. And
was he with any crew, or he was just,
nah, he was just walking in the woods. And he just did his thing, writing in letters, you know, we shoot the shit and stuff like that. I mean, we're not like buddies or anything like that. Like I said back then, he wasn't Iron Man. You're like, oh, this fucking this has been motherfucker right here. He fucked his life up, bro. Wow. Like, he ain't never gonna be nobody. This crackhead.
And he never
and now he's fucking Iron Man and all this
he
shit.
He never confided in you, like, damn, Dutch, I threw all
away. No. We talked about dope and shit like that because he's a drug addict. And we were back going to like AA meetings and stuff, like trying to, man, but we keep trying to have him. But like I said, I didn't really pay much because he wasn't really, it wasn't like I was locked up with Iron Man, bro. I was locked up with
some dude.
Old Robert Downey Jr. Yeah, yeah. They found him in some little kid's bed with a golden fucking 45. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, yeah. There was other famous people in there too, you know? So yeah, the last time I was in there was on the same charge.
Mm.
20 years later, dude. I thought it had been taken care of. And at this time, I had gotten sober already. I was in a band. We were on tour. We were out of the country. We're coming back in through Mexico, right?
You had a warrant out there or something?
Yeah, I had a warrant out for my arrest. Dude, check this out, man. This whole charge is for a $5 piece of dope, dude. I had a $100,000 warrant back there in the war on drugs because it was considered a deadly narcotic. Fucking, I'm trying to cross the border, dude, and we're on tour and customs grabs me. Like, you got a warrant out of LA, man. It's pretty old, but they want you. So it was still that big ass warrant, but they had passed Prop 42. I think it's 42. Yeah, Prop 42, which decriminalized drugs. Mm-hmm. But I had the warrant before that. So they had to bring me in on that warrant that was that much money. Everybody's like, oh, you'll be out of here tomorrow, dude. Prop 42. They only give you a ticket for that shit now, man. So I was in jail and jail and jail and jail. Then all of a sudden I got sober. 10 years passes. They don't hear from me. And I'm just coming into the country. They were like, where you been? So like, look, we're going to hold you till your next court date, which was 45 days.
Oh.
And I'm back in Men's Central booking, dude.
And it looks exactly the same?
Exactly the fucking same, dude. If not worse, bro. I'm like, oh, the fucking dorm, man. But this time, I am in a shitty... I mean, this cell was so old, dude. The fountain didn't even work, man. And it was me and some other dudes, a Southsider dude. We were all, like, so dehydrated because all we could drink was the orange juice they gave us in the morning and the milk in the afternoon. And we're like, the water ain't working. Mm. And the guy's like, drink out the toilet. And like, fucking, you know? So they call for trustee. They're like, yo, trustees, you're going to trustee unit? I'm like, oh, hell yeah, dude. And I roll up my shit. It sucked still. Mm-hmm. It was shitty. I'm in a four-man cell. And in LA County, it's like old, like with the bars. But they let their doors open and chill, and we all worked. Everybody else worked in the kitchen, dude. It was terrible. It fucking sucked. They did a special diet. So there was always food around, but working in the kitchen sucked. I was in the very last cell, which was cell 13. And in that cell, you got a choice to work. But people get on your ass if you didn't work, man, the other inmates. But everybody in cell 13 worked in the infirmary, dude. So they put me in the infirmary. I was fucking running the gurney to every stabbing, beatdown, rape, riot.
So you're like the EMT in the
jail. I was pushing the gurney with
the medical staff, which was just all these Korean people.
Really?
Yeah.
Hardly no hot nurses? Spoke.
Oh, okay. Hell no. Damn. And the COs would treat them like inmates, dude. Mm. Fuck you looking at, man. Dude, they were rowdy. Like, I never seen nothing like it, man. They were beating people to death in there, man. I mean, you could look this shit up on YouTube, dude, about the gangs they have. There's like the 3,000 boys. That was the gang that ran our block. So I was on 3,000 block at this point. And there's the 3,000 boys. There's the Jump Up Boys. There's the Linwood Vikings. These are all sheriffs and gangs in jails. You know, they got tattoos, everything, man. I'm like, this is where God put me. But I remember like a few days before that, they sent me down because I'm on testosterone. And for some reason, LA County honored that shit. I don't know what they were giving me in there, bro, but it was almost like a horse fucking steroid or something, dude, because I was like,
you're getting diesel,
dude. And I was just like all red all the time, man. It was like, I remember like, I'm like, are you sure that's enough for the person to speak English? I'm like, whatever, you know? So I would get my shot once a week and they'd send me down to the infirmary. I remember I saw this big ass dude, man, being walked through, and he was an IP, you know, like he was a special inmate, you know what I mean? So he's wearing an orange jumpsuit and he'd have two sheriffs with him, right? Mm-hmm. And when they came walking, you had to turn and face like all the murderers, serial killers, those dudes, the high profiles, right? Mm-hmm. You'd have to face the wall. I remember I saw this dude. I get back to the cell, dude. They called me Texas in there because I came from Texas at that point. My cellmate was named Louisiana because he's from Louisiana. I'm like, man, I saw this big ass dude look like Suge Knight. And they're like, oh no, that's him. Yeah, he's in here.
That was Suge Knight, huh?
Yeah.
What year is this?
This was like 5-6 years ago.
Oh shit.
7 years ago. It was when they were filming the NWA film and he ran those two dudes over.
Oh, when he ran the two dudes over, you were in jail and
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, so I was in jail. So he was
half dead by then, right? Wasn't he having mad issues?
Like... No, he was faking half of that shit.
Oh, he was faking it.
Like, yeah, wow. So check it out. So we're working in the infirmary and his bail is so high, and this motherfucker ain't got no more friends. You know, he doesn't have any money. He's like, yo, I need to get my bail lower. This was his thing, dude. He started faking all these illnesses. He even like passed out in court. It was total bullshit, you know? He was like, yo, I need y'all to lower my bail, man. My health isn't good. It's not good for me to be here in jail. And they're like, motherfucker, you killed two people. You ain't never leaving. I'm like, the delusionalness, you know, of like, dude, you will never get out of here, bro. Fuck, he ran him over on camera.
I remember that.
And
video.
Yeah, it was at the chicken spot, man. He ran him over in his red Hummer.
You ever speak to him directly?
Well, yeah, I'm gonna get to that, man. Oh, okay. So everybody else worked in special diets and he was diabetic, was like one of his illnesses. Mm. And they weren't allowed any cookies or anything like that. They had this old kind of kitchen, a cafeteria place that wasn't in use yet. It was in the infirmary, so it was a smaller one. And that's where we kicked it and waited for calls. They call over loudspeaker, we need a gurney, you know, and we'd get up and run out there. But the rest of the time, we just sat there and watched fucking TV, bro. It was great, man. Mm-hmm. You know, shot the shit, listened to people fucking tell lies. So when Suge would come through, dude, it was either fuck you, motherfucker, or yo, Suge, what's up? It would create a commotion. So they started putting him in with us just to, you know, while he was waiting. Yeah. And they're like, go fucking talk to him. And we're like, yeah, right, dude. Mm-hmm. We ended up shooting the shit and he's like, hey man, yo, you in special diets, right? Yo, get in and put some cookies and shit in my fucking sack, because they make the lunches and stuff, right? And the breakfasts and stuff. And I was like, yo, I'll see what I could do, man. I tell Louisiana, I'm like, hey man, if you can, dude, like, yo, put some cookies in Suge shit, you know, get in there. Never heard nothing about it. But I remember when we were sitting in there, we only talked with them a few times, man, and they had him in there with us. It was like twice, you know. I was like, yo, so what happened with Vanilla Ice? And he's like, I hung him out a window. He was crying like a little bitch.
You didn't ask him about Tupac or anything like that?
The other dudes did. He didn't really talk about that, man.
Damn.
He just talked about getting shot in the head and stuff like that. But we didn't have that much time to talk with him, dude. He was only in there for a minute. As I was getting ready to go to court and I was going to get out. And I'm like, oh, the fucking God, I'm getting out, man. Shit. You know, but if I got rolled up out of trustee, you know, it'd be a fraction against me and I'd probably have to fucking wait. And they're rolling motherfuckers up left and right. Any excuse they could get. The COs hated us, dude. Mm. They would fucking torture us, man. It was crazy. There was a race riot going on at that time too, bro. I saw some crazy ass shit. They were breaking people's legs. I had to sit there with the dude with a broken femur bone who was dying. They're like, fuck him, just wait. And I'm like, dude, he needs to go. They don't give a fuck. They're like, fuck back, you know. And so anyways, I saw a crazy ass like cop fight too when I was in there. The sheriffs go at it with each other.
Really?
Fight each other too, man. Yeah, it's fucking nuts, bro.
So the COs and the sheriffs, you say they're really gang.
Yeah, you do. You can look it up on YouTube, dude. Look up 3,000 Boy Live with Vikings, like all that shit,
They
bro.
Were doing some gang shit,
dude,
in the
fucking sheriff
prisons?
Of
LA, dude, they bring that shit up to him. And he's like, yeah, so?
You saw them fighting with each other and doing gang shit.
Yeah, criminal shit. I'll get to that, man. So 2 days before my court date, man, all of a sudden bringing Shug through. And I'm like, fuck, I turn around, face the wall. And he just goes, good looking out, Texas. Yeah. I guess he got the cookie. Yeah, so there was a race fight going down between blacks and browns in these certain units. If you're rolling with Woods, it's one thing, like whatever, you know. But if you're rolling with fucking Cervenos, with Southsiders, bro, they ask you to do something, you fucking do it. You're a fucking soldier. So they're like, hey, man, if this shit pops off again, we're going to hold it down. And I'm like, fuck. And this is like, again, 2 days before I'm supposed to go to court. And I'm like praying, please, God, don't let shit pop off. And luckily it didn't, because I would have had to like get rolled up, sent to lockup or like whatever. But anyways, yeah, there was that big ass fucking rise were going on. So I'm running the gurney up to this shit. And they got all these black dudes out there. And they pull the essays out. Everybody's mazed, beat the fuck up. Three dudes got beat to death, man, by the guards.
By the guards. Yeah. They were really kill inmates.
Oh, yeah. No, straight up, dude. Like, you look that shit up, man. Like, dude, I saw it. You know
you
what I mean?
Saw a guard do that.
Pulled the fucking bodies out with these dudes, man. Really? You know, yeah.
Can you tell that story, how a guard just killed someone?
So at the time they were doing transfers, right? So you would have another jail, right? And it's a sheriff's from that jail. So when this shit popped off, they call for everybody. They all come up, even if they're from the other jail. And these motherfuckers were all in there. And I remember the fucking like sheriff dude, he looked like Ted Danson. They started fighting. Dude, these dudes were like on 10. Dude, they look like they're about to kill somebody. Just like, the fuck are you looking at? And they just be like that, you know? Me and this other dude, we're like, dude, just don't even fucking look at him, man. And then this one dude's like, all right, we got the Wayside guys. And this one cop, sheriff, he's like, fuck Wayside. These are cops, dude. Like, he's in his Browns, man. All of a sudden, they just start going at it. What? Fuck you, motherfucker. What? And going off. And then there's a Ted Danson dude. He's like, everybody calm the fuck down.
It's like Lawless in there.
It's just culture out there, dude. It's gang prison culture, you know? And it bleeds into them, too, you know? And like, so we just grabbed the gurney when that happened. And we pinned ourselves against the wall to keep us separated. Even a cop bumps into you, he's just gonna start fucking you up, man. Yeah, when that shit popped off, it was up on the roof. And up on the roof of LA County is where the basketball courts are, where you get outside time. And it was outside time, and the blacks and the, you know, SAs fucking went at it. But when the cops came in, they fucking beat these three dudes to death, these three SA dudes. That's why the Browns kept going off. They're just letting nurses go up there. But they wouldn't let us go up there, the other prisoners. So when it's all fucking cleaned up, they got these dudes already wrapped up and shit, dude. They bring the gurneys up and then they bring them down.
You wheeled the three dead.
Yeah, one of them. But it was like, keep your fucking head down. You didn't see shit, don't say shit. But you can look that shit up. It was crazy, bro. Yeah, that was all like in 45 days.
Dude, it must be crazy to look back at those days and see where you're at now with like the acting, modeling, all the stuff that you do.
Yeah,
it must be like night and rip. Day.
Yeah, and then I get, you know, I'm sober. I end up starting this punk rock band. We do pretty well. I mean, we're playing with some pretty big acts, you know. We had too many domestic issues, but tons of potential. And then all of a sudden, I'm walking fucking runways. And,
how the fuck did that happen?
I'm on cover of magazines, man. Like Vogue and GQ. I'm in fucking
but like, what did you
movies.
Do to, what did you do to make that happen? Or did it
just
happen?
I was just being Dutch, man.
Yeah.
I don't know
real,
what
man.
I did,
He's
man.
Just real.
Like,
look at him.
Yeah,
he must be looking
like,
at all these models like, I could beat the shit
I
out of all of you.
I just end up, man. I know how to like just be in the situation. I was talking with my girl Hannah about that the other night, man, and I was like, I came from such a broken place in home that I just wanted to be away from. So the risk wasn't much with just going out and fucking leaving and doing whatever, because it was anything was better than where I had come from. So I took a lot of risks where other people wouldn't, and put myself in situations like hitting the road with $3.50 in my pocket, not knowing what the fuck I was gonna do. How many times I've had to rebuild my life from nothing is crazy.
So that's what set you apart from everyone else.
Yeah, I know I could do it. So I show up somewhere and I don't know what it is, but I don't know. I bring something.
The realness.
Yeah, you know? I think
it's
more.
Probably
I mean, I don't see it.
That comes
it's just
with
me,
it, right?
But like that seems to be what it is. Is like an authenticness some people just have. But you know, it's like, what's the price to pay? God, what the fuck is that quote, man? It was like, yeah, you know, I've lived this crazy ass life, but nobody ever thinks about the consequences of it, like what it does to you psychologically and stuff. Like, I got diagnosed with PTSD not too long ago, and dude, all the years I was a fucking drug addict, no one threw a fucking intervention on me. My girl's like, you need to go get fucking help and figure out what the fuck's going on. So I went to this place in Texas, man. Yeah, I got diagnosed with childhood trauma, which was like, it's called the ACEs test or something. I got a 95
5 on that. And then the adult trauma, which is the PH 5, I got a 69. And the woman was like, you have the trauma of a Vietnam veteran. I was like, what? I was like, what's this shit where I twitch in my sleep? She's like, oh yeah, those are night terrors.
Night terrors.
And I was
like,
you know, I would come out of all this stuff and I would get my life to this comfortable, calm spot. My body does not know how to live there, dude. Yeah. Like, it's only ever known chaos. Unconsciously find things to blow it up or to create more. I think that's why I do such a good job being a cooler, being in the middle of the shit at nightclubs, dude, chilling motherfuckers out. Because I could be calm, kind of working in the environment, but it's not healthy for me. But yeah, it's like traumas that were there because the body remembers, like.
Yeah, we had a whole show about it.
Yeah, yeah. It remembers every little detail of everything that's ever happened to you. And the only logical part of your brain is the right side. Left side is where all the trauma is, too. And the left side, when something happens, your body sends a signal up there, and then it'll give the left side of the brain, the logical side, just a little piece, just to keep you feeling unsafe. But it's not logical because those little pieces of you, and I got diagnosed with complex PTSD, so it's across the board, you know, from childhood to adult, several different things. When we do the EDMR, man, I mean, it's fucking mind-blowing. It'll be these eras, and it's a version of me that comes out, and I'm trying to get this dude to come out, and I got, like, these different avatars, like these wolves, and to make this motherfucker feel safe, and I gotta then let him know we don't live there anymore. Because these are the versions of myself that have been taking the bullets for me and all the fucking psychological trauma and everything. They still think we're in 1996 or we're in 2016 or we're in 1978. You know what I mean? Like, and then once you let them know, it was like the craziest fucking thing, man. It was like my life flashing before my eyes. You know, like some cheesy shit you see in a movie where dude's like, you know, really. All of a sudden she's like, hey, remember the good. And I'm like, I can't remember the good without the bad. She's like, good, remember the bad. And then all of a sudden it was just like the whole story, and I could see it and have no emotional attachment to it, and then see that it's all attached to this dude, and then let this dude know, yo, we ain't there. You can either come live with me on the Lower East Side, bro, or you could just go. Like,
let's get some Starbucks.
But we ain't there no more. And then once this dude realizes we're not there no more, that emotional attachment to that trauma disappears, man. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, I can just rest a little bit. I think that's the price of like living an interesting kind of crazy ass life.
Yeah,
you're gonna end up you're gonna end up with some damage.
You know? Would you give up this unbelievable movie-like life that you lived for, let's say there was another version of you that lived like a boring ass, normal ass, but peaceful life? Would you give it up for that?
No, no, I wouldn't give up one bit of it, man. I thought about that a lot. You know, I think we all think about that, man. Like, oh, I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have done that. Like, yo, everything brought me to this particular point of understanding. And you know, how many times do we have this thing that happened to us and we're like, this is the worst fucking thing ever. And then we end up in this other situation. We're like, I wouldn't have got here if it wasn't for this, man. Thank God that happened.
Yeah. Or it seems so like insignificant.
Yeah, insignificant. Yeah. But I think the real thing is it ain't about being safe in a house or having security in that manner. It's about having security in here. You know what I mean? Having value and worth. I kept trying to fix my external condition and thinking that that would do something for my internal condition. And it's the opposite. Until I fix my internal condition, man, the external is just fucking fodder. Because how many times it's like, I'll be all right when I get this chick, it'll give me some kind of purpose. All right, I'll be all right when I get this. I'll be all right when I get that. Well, motherfucker, I went and got all of it, dude. Like on the cover of magazines and movies and this and that. None of it did a fucking thing.
Until you for fix that yourself.
Feeling inside of like, I wish things were different. It was like, all right, what needs to change? Like, yo, I do. You know what I mean? My outlook, my perception. What has value? What has worth? Because these things don't. They're nice. Yeah. I like them, but it's not going to complete me or give me that purpose that I'm looking for in life. I think once you understand that, man, you can look at everything that's ever happened to you and always know that you had a part in it. And it's what defined you and made you who you are. That's why I hate this whole generation of this fucking triggered bullshit. Triggers are fucking great. You need to be triggered, man. Yeah, my therapist told me, you got triggered the other day? Fuck, great. Let's work on it.
Wow, that's a rare therapist.
Let's work on it. Because I'm not going to know what the fuck is wrong with me until I come across that thing that sets me off head on.
And then you can address
and
it.
Face it. And then I get past it. And then I can't fucking blame you for setting off my fucking triggers for my issue.
That's right.
You know what I mean? I'm going to go take care of my illness. I'm going to go take care of my issues and not expect the rest of the world to act right so that I can be okay.
I heard another crazy expression, which is life is like a piano. You have the black keys, which are the hard times, and the white keys, which are the easy times. And in order to play a melody, you need to play both keys.
That's what's up, bro. Yeah.
Both keys need to be
played. You got to get off the beam, bro.
You know?
You got to. You got to. Or else you wouldn't be grateful for anything.
That's right.
Man.
Can't be Christmas every day.
Yo, fuck no.
That's what my mom used to say.
I always like people that are just like, I just want to be happy.
Yeah.
I'm like, go fuck yourself. Like, happy? Really?
Right.
Happy
everybody's a byproduct of something. The thing that you want is serenity, because that's the feeling of knowing that you're okay and everything's cool and you're gonna be all right. And don't all of us want to be okay? You can be angry, you can be grieving, you can be sad, and you can have that serenity and you can know that everything's all right. I'm just going through this emotion right now. You know, when you don't have that, everything's not gonna be all right. I just want to be happy. Mm-hmm. You're gonna be happy at some point, but yeah, you can't always be on the beam, man.
I was gonna say, how much of like a battle is it for you? Because I feel like you've seen a lot of dark times. I'm sure there's times where it's like you feel like you need to go back and do something or act a certain way. Oh, things come back to you.
It's constant,
like,
man.
Yeah, how do you it's deal every with day that?
Well, I deal with it personally, like when you have that much kind of shit going on, because I have a routine I have to do, dude. I have to take care of myself. I have to take care of my internal condition because it's damaged. I have to wake up in the morning, I meditate, I pray, even though I don't really believe in God, but I just the act of it, putting the intention out there, you know. I have a little piece of paper where I write, you know, what I got going on that day. And then I look at what I did yesterday. And then I compare my principles to that because I know what my principles are today. Did I live up to those? Did I not? Okay, how can I do that better today? And follow that strict kind of thing and try to stay kind of present and mindful and like on my routines, man, because it's real easy for me to get manic and like that trauma kind of caught up in the hype, like really easy. But then all of a sudden I forget who I am and I forget who's doing this and that. It's like at work, dude, at fucking pianos, bro. If I'm just doing that and not doing this shit, all of a sudden, dude, every day looks like a day at pianos, dude. You know what I mean? Yeah, even when I'm not working. Damn. I'm just like, what's up? What? Fuck you. And I start becoming really ungrateful. Something got kind of broke. I just call it like spiritual sickness, you know, that I have to like tend to. And when I tend to it, life is better than I've ever imagined. And it has been. And every time any of that, all that great shit has happened is when I'm in that mode. Mm-hmm. It's never when I'm fucking like falling to pieces. But yeah, I live by that. At the end of the day, I kind of look at my shit and I'm like, yo, did I live up to my full potential today? Like, where was I selfish, dishonest, inconsiderate, frightened, and afraid? And if I can look at those things, man, and be like, okay, I was here, then I become a better man the next day, and a better man the next day. And it's slow process, dude. I'll never be fucking perfect. No one is. But I'm a little better than I was. It's like lifting weights, man. You see a motherfucker come in, he starts lifting weights, man. Look at him in a month, he don't look like shit. But come check me out in 4 years, yeah, you're gonna see a shredded fucking buff dude. But yeah, it's like anything else, man. There's always a price to pay for the choices we make and the lives we live.
Well, I think that's a good place to stop it, folks. Thank you for joining us again for part two of Dutch. I'm sure you guys listen to this at the gym, on your way to work. The legendary tales of Tommy Two Wolves, the Dutch, the World Cup champion. Perhaps we need a part three at this point. Champ. I don't know. The champ. I'm sure you got way more, many more stories to give us. Maybe we could do a part 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. But other than that, we'll see you guys in 2 weeks. Peace.
Thanks. Peace.